now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast. From classic cults and the cheese in between, the movies are B, but the entertainment is grade A. And I'm your host, Jason Giaconetti. And this time, for episode 200, I'm joined by my friend Franco.
Hello.
And we are here to not review a movie, although we do talk about a lot of movies.
We talk about a lot of everything.
We do. Wrestling movies, crazy stuff. But we're here to do the Pitch Storm creature features. Now, you might remember that Luke and I have done these in the past. Usually it's a special episode. I think we did one for Thanksgiving and then whatever kind of thing. But we're going to stick with the horror theme again. And I made sure that we're not going to have any repeats of the movies we did before. So I'm going to give Franco a character and a plot. And then he's going to pitch his elevator pitch to me. And we'll see where we go. You ready?
Yeah, I'm real scared, but yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
A sorority conducting a dangerous initiation ritual.
Oh, no.
Those are your characters. Fights a terrifying monster that lives under their bed. I feel like those actually go together.
They do. So this is the whole pitch right here. So I don't have to do anything else. Right? So now I have to come up with what the initiation ritual is. And
you can, whatever you need
monster.
To.
Okay. Yeah. Do I get 30 moments of silence? Yeah, you can think.
30 minutes, well, 30 minutes of silence, maybe not.
Yeah. Because 30 minutes of silence would give me something to actually put together. I can write notes. I can look things up. But no, I have to do this on the fly is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. No rules?
No. Nothing. Just, you know, okay. We keep it clean on here. We don't use adult language. Although, I gotta admit, often adult language is used in other places.
It's true. And I'm kind of regretting you not going first now.
Okay.
This way
you want me to take this pitch? I'll take this pitch.
And go. No, because then the next pitch is going to be even
so
worse.
So let's do this. I will give myself a pitch. I'll do a pitch, and then I'll do it, and I'll show you. Okay, ready? So mine says, a journalist searching for the connection in a string of murders, cult check, must survive a night in a town overrun by feral children. Cult check meets
Children
of Corn.
That one was simple.
All right, so you're going to a journalist speaking. So we got to, honestly, this can't be now. This has to be old. This has to be a period piece, probably the 70s, because you need no cell phones. You can't have people being able to easily get in contact with people. So, so he's driving out and it says over, it has to be in Midwest, but it's usually in the Midwest because that's where that stuff happens. But instead of being feral children, instead of being like the idea of feral children, like Children of the Corn, and unlike that movie Weapons, where the witch, spoiler alert, Weapons is about a witch. If you don't figure that in 5 minutes in, get a life. You don't know horror. Sorry. Movie's a year old. Good God. Anyway, so, but here what happened was that you had an outbreak of some kind of disease. We can make it either, man-made disease or whatever, or someone opened like a genie bottle or something, and the parents, anyone over a certain age started getting real sick and they're dying off. And the children are fighting for themselves. But the town gets cut off by the government, kind of like they did in the Crazies, when they cut them off the town and everyone starts killing each other because that's what happens. And the children now are starting to get, kind of turn feral. Well, now you have a journalist who's, and see, I would say Kolchak, but this is, I'm going to guarantee you, if they ever made this, this would be a woman. She would have to be a woman because she's worried about the children coming in. She goes into the town and she goes in with her news crew, which could be, we know it's going to be. It's going to be like, you know, the heavy set guy with the goatee carrying the camera. You know, you're going to have the plucky guy who wants to do the hair. Well, I mean, it all kind of, you know, it's all very Sweet Home Alabama kind of thing, meets Scream. They all come in and they're going to now, they're now stuck in this town. And now the children are overtaking them. So they're going to be in, let's say, the motel. And they're holed up in there. And the kids are like digging through the walls and breaking through things. And it just turns into an absolute like crazy nightmare. And they're trying to get through the night. Because then they get up and in the morning, they can escape. So that's kind of the pitch, right? It doesn't have to be super long, but what is elevator pitch? Here is my note from the studio.
Uh-oh. Wait, here we go. Notes from the studio?
Yes, the notes come in. Oh, this is what it is.
Okay.
We need at least one thing to explode out of someone's chest. Oh, okay. This is not a problem. So, right? So these kids. So
basically, yeah. You got everything easy.
Okay, yeah. No. So now one of the kids, they go and one of the kids gets in, whatever, and they're sleeping. They go, hey, get up, get up. And they go to pull it back, and the kid is now burrowed through the back of him, right through his chest. Because we're not worried about the physics of your body or how a biology works, because there's bones and like, you know, whatever. But this kid comes right through there. That'd be a great jump scare. Blood and guts everywhere. This would be awesome. This thing would definitely have to be rated R. In fact, you know who to direct this? Is the guy who did Terrifier. Like Damien Leone. Like he would have a field day. I know you didn't see the new Toxic Avenger yet.
No, but
holy cow. Yeah. Oh my God, dude. It is nuts. Yeah. Right? And I said to my dad, I said, you'd hate it, Dad, but it's absolutely nuts. That kind of thing. It has to be that kind of thing. This has trauma written on it. Damon Leone, the Cineverse, all that crazy stuff written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the pitch.
Wow.
So crazy, right? It doesn't have to be long, but it's got to be there.
I should have gone first. All right, so now mine. Mine is a sorority conducting a dangerous initiation ritual.
Yep.
And I'm thinking it definitely has to take place in the 80s.
Oh, with yeah. With
girls like, you know, Chelsea and Tiffany involved, because they have to be involved. And they do an initiation ritual which involves a lot of beer. And it involves a nerdy kid named Kevin. So it's a cross between...
Kevin!
It's a cross between... an 80s horror, but also an 80s Revenge of the Nerds type movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking, right? So they're sadistic to this Kevin kid, and he winds up dying, but because they're partying so hard, they forget about him, and he gets left in the sorority room somewhere, you know, in a closet or under the bed. Oh, wait, fights a terrifying monster under the bed. So he becomes actually the monster under the bed.
Yeah.
So he is... you know, and I wish I got your studio note, because then that started me thinking about, you know, something pouring out of his chest. I'm thinking his blood is all turned to beer, and he can actually liquefy himself. And sorry, dog's here. Go sit down. Go sit down. He is able to liquefy his limbs and kill the girls that way. Oh, also, did I mention that the girls will be in their bras and panties the entire time?
Oh, I mean, that's just kind of a given,
yeah,
I think. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I think it would have to be, right? So the initiation was with maybe whipped cream involved in the beer as well, possibly. I don't know. I'm not very secure in my pitch here, but that's what I'm thinking. But yeah, that and he winds up killing them, but he kills them in... new and inventive drowning ways, I'm thinking.
Okay, so you ready for the studio notes?
No, but yes, okay. go for it.
What if this was all on the main character's head, or was it?
Yes, okay. I'll incorporate that,
yes. Okay.
So what if it was all in his head? Then at the end of the movie, he would wake up at the beginning of the...
And then the whole like thing starts all over again.
Yeah,
that could totally work. Yeah. Actually, in the 80s, that could be that was an end of the 80s thing. So, like, if you think of the horror cycle in the 80s, especially, like, there was April Fool's Day, which is I don't love as a movie, but the whole thing's fake. And the rumor always was that when the he goes, ha ha, guys, very funny. And then they all get slaughtered. Like, that literally is that. There's very few of those kind of movies. So that would make actually it stand apart as being different.
And it's in the right time period.
Yes, 1980. 80s. Oh, my God. Yeah. There we go. So, and of course, 80s is hot right now. People like to make those things. Although I'm waiting for the flashback to the 90s stuff where everyone's like, I don't care. All right, here we go. My next pitch, here you go.
Oh, we're doing another one.
Yeah, okay, you want to do it? We can do another one.
As if the first one wasn't bad enough.
Here we go.
But yeah, let's go.
A dysfunctional family with a dark secret falls in love with a dangerous vampire. I've seen this movie. It's called Near Dark. Do you remember Near Dark?
I do.
Yeah. Near Dark and Lost Boys. For those of you who have never seen Near Dark, go watch it. Because if you love the Lost Boys, Near Dark is more.
I'm thinking about buying tickets on Broadway for Lost Boys. You know?
Oh, I know. I'm sure that's probably outstanding. But I'm saying is Lost Boys is the one that gets all the love because of like who's in it and whatever. But Near Dark is the better vampire movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's brutal. So, dysfunctional family with a dark secret. What's their dark secret? That they're oh, my, okay. What if this... Wait. I'm changing my idea.
It's not so easy.
No, I'm changing my idea. Here we go. What if their dark secret is that they're werewolves? Wait. Oh, my God. Is this going to be like Underworld and Twilight? Yes, but different because not going to have... Well, I guess we could have...
All of them in like tight... Sparkly,
yeah. No, that's Twilight. Yeah, but in like Underworld, what's her face is all in her tight leather. Kate Beckinsale. Yeah. I mean, Kate Beckinsale's a little older now. I don't know if we get her. We get somebody else. I mean, I would get Sydney Sweeney, but I know that might get me some hate mail. It's fine.
Might not get her.
It's okay. Suit. She's got great jeans, though.
I was going to say, might not get her into the suit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyway, so dysfunctional family with dark secret. But their dark secret... Let's make their dark secret that they are serial killers. Right? So they're serial killers and they're going around and they travel, but they look like the normal family, kind of like people under the stairs with the facade of, you know, behind the facade of this in his looking bookstore, you know, kind of thing. They look like a normal family, but they're actually killing people and they're not picking off people that would be quote unquote missed. It's very much the way things were back, like when you watch movies from the 80s into the 90s, when they would pick off like the homeless guy and the thing or the girl who's lost, whatever. And they start picking people off one at a time. And the problem was that one of the people they go to run into turns out to be a vampire. And the daughter starts falling in love with the vampire. But the vampire the entire time has been doing the same thing. He's been killing people as well. So you have two different sets of cops coming across the country as one vampire is coming. This kind of like Nightflyer. One's coming this way and one's coming from the East Coast to the West and whatever. And this is all going to take place middle of the country because it got to be because that's the only place you can hide because in the city, you know, whatever.
You need corn.
Yeah, well, you know. And so now you have this family of serial killers who are being hunted down by the police coming from the West Coast out. And you have this vampire people don't know it's a vampire, but he's leaving these husks of bodies along the way. And now they say, we're going to team up and become. So the daughter's like, look, my family will never accept this. So the vampire wipes out the family, just white kills everybody else. It's like, now we're together. And she's not sure if she wants to become a vampire with him or just be his familiar. But that's where you take that. And then what happens is now you have the two bring in, but the cops are not going to be able to kill them. But they know that they're going to be found out. So they have to then figure out how to escape this. Because at some point, you know, you just can't keep killing people because they're going to figure out it was you. But yeah, so let's see what the studio notes says.
Wait, do you want my notes first or do you want the studio notes first? Go with the studio notes and then I'll tell you my idea.
Read the studio note.
Can we give the main character a split personality? That never gets old.
So the girl has a split personality. So she's we already know she's insane. Folks, we are just pulling cards off of piles. Like, we're not even looking at the cards. And it already fits. She's completely psychotic, right? And then she's okay with murdering her entire family, who have been murdering people over and over. I mean, it's kind of like if Leatherface finally decided he had enough of the rest of the family, murder the rest of the family, because he's been killing people. Yeah. But, you know, so what's your note?
So, As you were describing this, I thought a really neat twist, because like I write stories for a living, so I'm always thinking about what's the furthest thing out there that you could pull in from left field. So this family of serial killers that you've concocted, what if they've been killing all along, but their weapons of choice to kill other people with are actually vampire teeth.
Oh, so like, they pulled
vampire teeth. So when they encounter this vampire, like,
who's been leaving bodies the other way? Yeah,
they have a method to actually deal with him rather than just succumbing to him.
Yeah, and so they've been using the vampire bite, but sucking the taking the blood out because
we're using it like sharpening the teeth into like a makeshift knife or a weapon or something like that that has some sort of effect on a vampire other than.
Like they're using silver fangs.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like Triple H had in Blade 3, which made no sense because the silver would have killed him.
Yeah.
But it's Triple H. It's Triple H. I can't do it. So, all right. Ready for your pitch?
Yes. I think so.
The pot-smoking rebel that can't be taken and can't take anything seriously struggles to exorcise a demon from a small child.
So wait, this is supposed to be a horror movie?
Yeah, this doesn't sound like a horror movie at all. This sounds.
But it has to be a horror movie?
Well, that's what we're going with. Well, I mean, we'd go horror comedy.
Yeah, because I'm thinking it has to be horror comedy.
Yeah,
You got Jacob, who is just like, you know, he's never really smoked pot before, but now that he's in college, he's like, he can't stop. He's stoned all the time. He doesn't know what's real or not because he's so stoned all the time. And then he's home for some reason on like a winter break or something like that. And his neighbor is like, oh, Jacob's, you know, older and responsible now. So he's old enough to watch my kid because I have some sort of emergency that I have to go to. And I don't really want to deal with my demon child. Ha, ha, ha. Little does she know, he really is imbued with a demon now. And he has to exorcise him. So I'm thinking the way that he does it is he creates a crucifix from actual weed.
I think it's in a bong. I was like, that's a huge bong.
I like bong too, but
it's all holy water. The water in the bong is holy water.
Studio note.
Can we get a bong instead?
Because we can market that. We can make like. We can have like demon child bombs.
Oh my god, this is a trauma movie too.
Yeah. It actually has to be a trauma movie.
There's Evil Bong and there's Evil Bong 2, but that's about a bong. That's different. That's not about a guy exercising. That's a bong that kills people.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm thinking.
Okay,
what's ready a for studio note.
What if we add a whole bunch of evil ghosts like the kid from The Grudge? So they're.
Is that what she said?
The kid from The Grudge. So they meow and stuff. Well, that could be what's possessing him.
Well, yeah. I think at some point Jacob takes this kid to the dispensary with him. And, you know, because he's trying to exorcise his demon. So he takes him to the dispensary. And the kid kills everybody in the dispensary. And you know, now their spirits are now haunting. Haunting and smoking.
Although, how come I have to feel? I feel that like the guy running the dispensary should be like Nick Frost, because maybe that's from Attack the Block when he was the weed guy.
But then at the end, Jacob wakes up as if like, you know, it almost didn't happen as per our previous. It almost didn't happen, and he's just too. He's like, was I just really stoned and none of that really happened until like he goes to the back to the dispensary and everybody's dead.
Dead. I'm telling you, it sounds like that. So, yeah. You know, we do you want to do one more together? Pitch together. Yeah. So we're like as if we're a writing duo.
Because these first pitches didn't seem to pan out very well.
No, these are actually, they're very funny though. I can be honest. Luke and I, they're not always funny. Like the stuff Luke and I've had, like it was like a circus is coming to town, but they're like actually whatever is, and it's like they're underground killing people like this. It's horror. This is much funnier, which is great. All right, so here we go. We're gonna do this together. A bunch of horny teens at summer camp.
Never encountered that.
Wake up from a coma in a post apocalyptic hellscape.
Ooh.
Cause this is the 80s. This has got to be the 80s.
It's got to be the 80s, and they were killed by somebody like Jason, like.
Well, but not killed, but they woke up from a coma.
No, they were can't. They were.
So he slaughtered a whole bunch of them and left one into a coma.
Yeah.
And then it's like Night of the Comet. It comes through and wipes out everything. Right? Okay. So yeah. So you have the one survivor from the brutal attack by the mass killer here, right? And they wake up in a coma. So it's
Very important. While he's still in the coma, he's still very horny.
Yes, he's still very horny. While he's in the coma. I've never seen this is kid, supposed to be kid friendly.
Kid's really excited to be in the coma.
Wow. Well, put that sheet down, nurse. I can't.
Is that a tent? No, he's in a coma.
Forget it. Well, we got to keep it PG. Anyway, he wakes up. So this is kind of like the beginning of 28 Days Later, too, where he wakes up and like everything's gone. But now he's in a post-apocalyptic hellscape. But here's the thing. Because whatever came through, the comet, the whatever it's going to be that's going to cause this to happen, all of his now former horny teen friends are the zombies that are coming back, and they're all really horny.
Really?
And now the problem is they're not trying to eat your brains, they're trying to screw you to death. So, you know who would love this? Who made Frankenhooker?
Everybody I know?
No, but who made Frankenhooker? Was it? I blanked on his name. So, Chris Honeywell, you are screaming right now because you'd. Frank Henenlotter would love this because it's like, want a date? You know, kind of thing. It's like,
want a date?
So, let's see what the studio note is, because I don't know how this even ends. This has got to end in like this is going to end like the end of Society, the movie Society, which is the orgy where they all melt into it. It's absolutely disgusting.
The only reason we're getting a studio note for this one is because somebody has to justify their job.
Yes.
Otherwise, this is a perfect pitch. Why would we need a note?
What if the main character was in love with a vampire? I'm not sure how we tie vampires into this.
Yeah, that's a dumb note. Ignore it.
Yeah. I think the problem is this person is like, wait, I remember that other vampire movie you made where they were killing people or whatever? Let's make a sequel. Yeah. They want to tie it in. That's what this is. This is like all of those sequels to the Hellraiser movies that had nothing to do with Pinhead, because they just shoehorned him in at the end. Because they're like, hey, all these kids at a party and they're all getting killed. And why are they getting killed? Pinhead. Like, he's in the movie 5 minutes. I mean, don't get me wrong, I want Doug Bradley to work. The man deserves a paycheck, but good God, it had nothing to do with him. That's what this is. This is the studio trying to shoehorn this into the other vampire whatever movie so these horny teens or whatever, and they want to make it vampires. But I think in vampires, probably that note's probably not going to work for that. No. So
that exec got fired.
Yeah, that exec, you know, like, no thanks. Yeah. Let's see. Want to do a second note? But what if the main character is slowly turning into an insect? See, this you could work with because he was in the hospital when it happened, and now he's mutating. But not mutating like Spider-Man, getting all those extra arms and stuff. He's just finding little things that are turning, like his fingernails keep falling off, and he's kind of had to vomit on his food to make it. That's the fly.
A related thing, can I take that note back to my weed demonic?
Yeah, well, sure.
Because that guy would definitely turn into an insect.
He thinks he's turning into an insect.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
We're pitching all these movies, folks. That's what this is. Some exec sitting there going, he's pressing the button. So, okay. So, yeah, like we said, this is supposed to be, this is a special episode for 200. Obviously, these are much funnier than some of the other ones we've come up with. Some of the other ones are very serious, like very like this child is locked inside this airlock and he will be like, you know, whatever. And it's like, but these are all very, you know, kind of funny and comic. And this is, I think, part of the reason why. And this is how we usually talk about stuff. Like usually we're laughing about a lot of the stuff we're talking about anyway. And we do know, and that's what I tell people all the time, it's like, it's very hard to talk to people who don't know things. You know what I'm saying? Like, who don't know, like, we're trying to pitch movies, who don't know movies. Like, I mean, I love my wife dearly, but she would be god-awful at this game. Like, Kelly's every movie, Kelly, like, I don't know, like what? You know, nothing? Like, she has nothing to add to it. And I don't mean that to be rude, but Kelly doesn't watch movies that way. She doesn't digest movies, she doesn't whatever. She has movies she loves. She can probably quote Troy and A Few Good Men, and like she knows those movies inside and out. But to be a rich, like think of things that would be hard for her.
I would think Weed Demon would be one of Kelly's good favorite movies.
Yeah, right? She would just, knowing my wife, she would just look at her phone. Like there's no second screen with Kelly. There's just not watching the first screen. Right. You know, kind of thing. So, and again, Kelly knows I say these things, but like I say it all the time, especially on the horror podcast when I do with Luke and Chris and Chris. I said, Kelly actually watched this with me and she liked it. Like we watched Sinners and she really enjoyed Sinners. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. She liked it. But Sinners is a really well-made movie. Right. Besides being vampires, right? So, like, the movie itself is well made. The characters are developed. Like, all that stuff is good, so she can get into that. she has a hard time when it's superficial, right? Like, if the characters are nothing...
So you're saying weed demon, not...
I don't think weed demon's for her. But, you know, I guarantee you, though, you can kind of go with what... Kafka, like the whole idea of turning into an insect and, like, the whole... I kind of think we can go super meta. You know, he turns into... I'm an insect! You know, kind of thing.
I'm thinking, but I really want to pitch weed demon.
Weed right demon, yeah. Coming to you soon via Kickstarter. Weed demon! Oh my God, that's going to be amazing. Anyway, all right. So, folks, I just want to thank Franco for being on. Franco, tell people where they can find you.
Everything me, you can search Franco or Oh Yeah Franco on social medias, but I'm at blindwolfstudios.com. I have Ninja Kaiju, which is my new graphic novel that comes out from Paper Cuts on February 17th. February 17th, so it comes out very soon. And it would be awesome if you picked that up.
Yeah. And some of you might recognize, obviously, Franco and I worked on all the LXT stuff together, all those Kickstarters and stuff. You know, obviously, any of you who, because again, I know there's like five people who listen to this, but like, you know, and you all know me, so, but you guys know, like, I'm always tagging him and stuff and doing whatever. Like, like when I talk about, like, you know, being able to bounce ideas off people and they're like, this is what it is. I mean, and I mean, obviously we're playing a game and this is kind of silly, but this is how you kind of go through that process. And I said, it's true. It's very hard to pitch ideas with people who don't have ideas, like, you know, kind of thing. And the worst thing is people who have any ideas and then they want to shoot your ideas down. Right. Like, I mean, and let's be honest, like, these movies are insane. Right. But like, I guarantee you, like, Troma and all that, that's what they come up with. I mean, you see what they produce. What do they shoot down? Like, what do they, you know? I mean, I bet it's nothing. But I'm saying it's like, so, but that's the thing is, like, some of us can get in our groove and do our thing. Like, Charlie Band wants, if you have little dolls, Charlie Band's your guy, you know, kind of thing. Like, you know, Full Moon Studio, right? But, like, that's part of the thing. Being creative, and that's one of the things that I struggle, not struggle to be creative, but I struggle with the idea that I want to be creative. I want to think outside the box. I want to do things that are fun and enjoyable. And depending on what you do for a living, it might not be. And this is one of the things that we talk about. We've talked about it too, but in the podcast where we talk about this, no one's getting rich from this. There's no money to be made doing this, right? I wish there was. I wish there was someone willing to pay me Joe Rogan money to go. I'll go on every day and talk about whatever you want to talk about. You pay me Joe Rogan money, I'll be there, right? But the thing is, being creative is one of those it seems lost. Right. And it's weird to think that, like, really, like, people aren't creative, but they're not. I mean, you know,
especially nowadays with all the AI stuff and and all that other stuff,
it becomes too easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we were talking the other day. I asked you if you had saw Shishu, right? The first one, right?
Which we did watch.
And then I said, well, the second one, just take it to the next level, right? I mean, they're basically the same movie. Sorry, spoiler alert for a movie that's now a couple months old. But like, the thing is, I enjoyed that movie. It didn't have to be change my life, you know, with some deeper meaning. It's a guy who lost his family and now he's pissed at the guy who killed them. And I'm like, okay, I'm on board, right? But you can enjoy that. But you know that when the first one came out, like, because it's not an American movie, people are like, I don't know, really? There's almost no talking in Shishu. Yeah. Like, it's just the Nazis talking in German. Right. And then there's very little talking anywhere else in that whole movie. And you're like, really? And I'm like, yes, because you can tell that story, right? When you start seeing things that are original, kind of like ideas that are, you know, the people say original and everything kind of has, you know, been taken off itself. In 2025, like, people were like, well, Sinners, it's almost original thing. Like, and I liked Sinners a lot. I don't know. Did you see Sinners?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, it's just From Dusk Till Dawn. I'm like, it kind of is, but at some point, they go 180 of each other. Yeah. Because From Dusk Till Dawn was one of my favorite movies ever. I love From Dusk Till Dawn. That movie's nuts. Mm-hmm. Nuts. Yeah. And it's funny and crazy and zany. And it's so, you know, like, it's so Rodriguez. That's who it is. And Sinners is not. Sinners is played straight. Mm-hmm. Sinners is, it's heartbreaking at times. And it's, you know, okay, that's like the part where he's playing the music going through time. Again, watch the movie. Going through time and stuff. There's all that stuff that's in there where you're like, wow, this is a really good film. Like, this filmmaker is trying to say something, but at the same time, not beat you over the head with it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Too often now, I think we get movies that are either going to try to beat you over the head with what it's doing, or they're so lost, they don't even know where they are. They can't see the forest through the trees. Mm-hmm. You know, they get there like, okay, I was going to make a big statement, but I don't know what I'm saying. So, yeah,
not a horror movie, mm-hmm. but just totally off the wall crazy. I saw over the holiday break with my family, RRR.
mm-hmm.
which is a Bollywood movie. It's on mm-hmm. Netflix. Have you ever seen it?
No, I have not. Yeah.
Oh my God! If you have 4 hours,
yeah,
literally, because I think it's like three
yeah,
hours.
Yeah.
And change three and a half hours long. It is nuts.
Yeah.
It does not know if it wants to be a revenge movie, a dance movie,
right.
A musical. Like yeah. I'm watching this. Like, what is happening? There's tigers in the jungle, and there's
yeah,
like then there's a musical set piece right in the middle of it, and I'm like, what is this movie? And it is so off the wall crazy.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, too, because if you're, especially movies that come out of India kind of thing, you know, they're known for being like having a musical number and having these things. And that's part of their cinema. That's part of their whatever. Yeah. But people who don't know that go in and go, what? But yeah. like it's because it's very I don't say unnerving, but it's kind of it's jarring. Like you're not expecting right. a full on dance number in the middle of it. You know,
it makes sense within the yes, story,
right? But I'm saying, but if you're not like really, yeah. you know, it's kind of like Baz Luhrmann's movie. What is it? Moulin Rouge, right? Yeah. Moulin Rouge.
Which I hate it.
But well, that's yeah. fine. But I'm saying, but like, and I actually love Moulin Rouge, and I thought I was going to hate it going in. I'm like the first 10 minutes, I'm like, God, this movie, mm-hmm. and It sucked me in. I bought Hook, Line, and Sinker. And you're like, it's a musical. I don't really like musicals. But it's not a musical in the way like Sing in the Rain is or whatever, all the classic musicals. Yeah. You know, it's Baz Luhrmann. Yeah. And if you like Baz Luhrmann and what he does, it's his thing. It's very much like Guillermo del Toro. Yeah. Del Toro's Frankenstein, Del Toro's Pinocchio. Like those are stories that have been told forever.
Right.
And Del Toro just does like, watch what I can do. Yeah. His whole Cabinet of Curiosities, that whole thing. Like, you people who are creative, and whether you love it or hate it or whatever, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But you can't deny. I mean, as much whether you like Moulin Rouge or not, you can't deny that movie was definitely different than what absolutely. You were going to get. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's important. I tell people all the time, whether it's good or it's bad, just don't be boring. Just don't be boring, because boring is the worst sin in the world you can have for making a movie.
Yeah.
Like I said, we watched Weapons. Did you see Weapons?
No.
Okay. Weapons, not to give away anything, but I did. It's a witch. It's so obvious. It's a witch in the first 5 minutes. But the whole thing is, having watched movies with witches, with whatever, I know the lore. I know what's happening. And people are like, oh, that movie was so funny. And I was like, where was the funny in it? Where's the funny? That movie's depressing and hurtful. And as a parent, it hurts me. As a teacher, it hurts me. As a human being, it hurts sometimes. I said, where's the funny? They're like, oh, it's funny the way they're running. And I'm like, so... okay, but if I said to you those students, those kids were not possessed by a witch, but they were autistic, is it now funny? It's not, right? Because we have worked with children who have special needs and whatever kind of thing. Society finds humor. No, that's not humor. You look at it through the lens of what you are. And I think part of the problem is is that people who don't know look at things sometimes like, oh, that's crazy, that's funny. But where is the director coming from? What's this happening right. kind of thing? And again, the guy, his other movie he's known for is Barbarian. I don't know if you saw Barbarian. That, yeah, trust me, a lot of people didn't. But the thing is, everyone said, that's the most, that movie was so scary. It was so horrifying. It was so gross. And I watched it and I waited till the end and I said, when did that happen? Because nothing happened. And I think that's part of the problem is that we have... now we end up like letterbox and something. I have my own letterbox and stuff and no one reads it. Doesn't matter. Right. It's there for me to keep track of things. Right. People have now decided that I'm a movie person and I know movies, but do they? Now you studied, you know, film and stuff like that in college and do all that stuff like that, like, and production and all those things. Like there's so much more to making a movie than just the 2 hours on the screen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people, as Jerry Seinfeld always jokes, he goes, if I'm in a, you know, if it's a, you know, if I thought I'm a bad movie, I'll turn to everybody and go, God, it really sucks, right? You know, kind of thing. I goes, if you're in a, you watch a bad movie, it's 2 hours. You're in a bad movie, it's 2 years, right? But it's true. Like, movies are not quick. Movies are not shot in 5 minutes. Like, it's not even TV. Mm-hmm. Like, even the longer now, like Stranger Things and stuff, like that, those are hour-long episodes.
And there's people complaining that there's years between seasons 2 and 3.
But they take forever to shoot.
Why do you think that is?
You know,
you got everybody's schedules. You have all these people. They're doing
but to shoot a 2 hour movie takes you 2 years.
Yeah.
You're shooting, what is it, 9 episodes? Yep. 9 hours? Mm-hmm. 9 hours. Even if the characters are two separate different stories, even if you're shooting them both at the same time, say there's 4 hours each, that's years.
Nothing to even comment on the writing.
Oh yeah.
Getting it all ready before you even start production. Yeah.
It's the process of this, and we do this obviously to be silly and do our thing right. But the real process here, and I think people, you know, some of our listeners definitely appreciate the idea that like this takes real work. It's more than just, you can't just like sit down and I'll just bang this out. Cause then we hear like, you know, was it Tarantino who said he banged out one of the movies over a long weekend? They got on a bend. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not saying it can't, but the probability is that's not going to be a hit. Now, Tarantino and whatever else, whoever he was with and whatever they might be ingesting or doing, whatever, turned out whatever, I forgot what movie it was, but the exception proves the rule. If you and I sat down and we just, in a weekend, try to come up with whatever, it might be great. It might not be. But it also might be like, well, okay, this is never going to work. How could, and it might lead to something else. But it doesn't mean you're going to start Friday night and Sunday night you have a finished script. Even then, it's not. It's just an idea. It's just an open. That's hard to do.
We're not even talking movies. We're talking anything. About the LXT game that we developed.
Yeah.
That took us over a year and a half. Uh-huh. Before we launched out on Kickstarter.
Yeah, because we had to come, I mean, it's not just characters. We had to come with characters, backstories. We had to come designs. I mean, we remember, just roughing out designs. I mean, game mechanics, I was working on that separate than you and Nikki working on other stuff. And we were all working on characters. Mm-hmm. And that's the crazy part is that, you know, those things come to you and you're like, okay, how do I go from here? How does this tie in? That process is so interesting. And to some people, they are like, oh, I couldn't care less, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's maybe why we have seen, you know, some originality maybe been, you know, stripped away from some of the things we get. Mm-hmm. It is much safer to put out a remake of The Running Man, which I watched the other day, which is nothing like the original with Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. It's
any good or?
It's not bad. I mean, I know we got to suspend disbelief, but you got to really suspend disbelief on some of these things, right? Yeah. But it's not horrible. And I'm glad it's not Schwarzenegger's Running Man again, because I can watch Schwarzenegger's Running Man. But even Schwarzenegger's Running Man is not a great film. Right. I mean, it's an action movie and it's Schwarzenegger. But like, it's not on the level of Predator. Predator has one of the most iconic special effects ever. You have Stan Winston working. You have Schwarzenegger. You have all these elements came together. And that movie became bigger than the sum of its parts. Much like Paul Verhoeven's RoboCop. RoboCop, that name is garbage. I mean, it's great now, but you're like, thinking, RoboCop? Really? You're going to call it that? And that movie is like so much more than the sum of its parts. Yeah. That movie speaks on different levels. It's still true today, which is scary because it was made in 1986, you know, or 85, right? 85, 86. And that's the crazy part. We get a remake of RoboCop, and now it's just a guy and a thing and a whatever. We strip away that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, we see too many times they strip away that because the name is important because the name is recognition. I can get it. I'm trying to get that Gen X guy, the guy who's in his 40s and 50s to drop down his money to come watch it. But when you watch it, you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I mean, in like Fury Road, I mean, was phenomenal, but that's his vision. That's Miller's vision doing his own thing. But like, I'm trying to think of like in the last few years, like one of the best movies I've seen is The Color Out of Space, which is the Nicolas Cage movie, which is based on H.P. Lovecraft. And it's done that way. It is horrific at times, like absolutely horrific. And it's crazy and insane. And you're like, what are we watching? But then you're like, wait, it's Lovecraft. It's not insane. This is actually tame compared to what was probably going on in that guy's skull, you know? And things like that, with movies that push that envelope. And I know some people like hated The Substance. And so I mean, I really enjoyed The Substance, right? But that movie is not different than a lot of other Jekyll and Hyde kind of movies, whatever. But they kind of took it to a different thing and they made it really gross at the end and stuff, which I think Kelly loved that movie at the end. She goes, it's really gross at the end. I go, I know, but it had to get gross because what we're going to do, you know? But that's the hard part is that like, not that your story has to be 100% brand new, because I don't know if there is truly a brand new story anymore, right? But if you're going to make a story, make it unique and don't make it boring and make it like pungent. And I'm not saying it has to be blood, you know, like this is Bots, Bugs, and Babes, right? I always kind of joke, right? Like it doesn't need to be the fourth B, blood, right? We don't need blood everywhere. But if you're going to, you know, if you're going to have boobs and blood and all that stuff in there, okay, but that's, you're already limiting yourself to a movie. Your story's got to be good. You got to have a solid story, solid characters. Everything's got to kind of work together. And every once in a while, you link all those things together. You get a cinematographer who understands what they're shooting. And I'm not kidding. To me, I think Fury Road might be the best movie made in the last 25 years. Yeah. Just visually, that movie is stunning.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then when you watch it in black and chrome, when you watch it in black, you're like, oh, okay. It was like when I watched Logan. in black and chrome. And I'm like, oh, that changes some of the feel of this movie. That makes, you know, which was good, but it changed the feel of what it is. But the black and chrome of that, because of the way it's shot, it's so deep with those blacks and so like, it, and everything, you know, the chrome, the shiny, right? And you're like, wow, you know, Miller knew what he was doing,
yeah.
Right? And that's why, I mean, Furiosa is very good too, but Furiosa, I mean, it's pales. If we have never seen Fury Road, you probably love Furiosa kind of thing, right? But like the idea is that like, that's hard to do. And that's not a new concept because it's the same Mad Max character, even if people don't believe it's actually Max because it's the feral kid. Look it up. But, you know, to take Furiosa and make her this character and make her vulnerable and make her that. And you're like, oh, okay. It's not about Max. It's about her. And you go in thinking this is going to be a Mad Max movie. I see Mad Max. I remember those movies. Except for the first one. None of those movies are about Mad Max. They're all about the other people in them.
Yeah.
And that's the great part. I think that's where you can get that storytelling that I think might be lost sometimes, but it kind of can still be there. So anyway, sorry, we got a little far afield, you know, kind of thing. Just rambling away. But it's always great to talk these kind of things. I just want to say thank you to everybody for all your support. Obviously, this is a labor of love. I don't make a dime doing this. And I can honestly tell you that, 200 episodes seems crazy. But even is more crazy, in March, we're hitting 10 years. 10 years. I remember talking about this with my brother going, do you think anyone's going to listen? And he's like, I don't know. People listen to all kinds of stuff, Jay, you know, kind of thing. And then I don't know why we both sound like that, but we do. But yeah, just think like, we'll just make it. And like, here I am trying to read off a script back in the day. And now I can't do a script at all because you could tell like when I'm reading it. If I'm reading stuff, it sounds god awful. But yeah, I want to thank everyone for all their support and love through the years. From everybody who's been on the show for the first 200. If we do another 200, great. If we do two more, and that's all it is, that's what it's going to be. You know, we never know. But I can honestly tell you that through that time, myself, of course, my brother, my dad, 100% my dad, loved all the feedback and stuff we got from you guys, and how it was a chance to. Honestly, this really started as a chance for me and my dad to sit down and watch movies that he had never seen. I literally was like, you're going to watch Friday the 13th. You're going to watch Nightmare on Elm Street. You're going to watch the movies that you hate that you never saw. And I made him watch movies. Then I made him watch movies that he really liked too. Yeah. You know, kind of thing. Could just be all bad movies.
Yeah, torture him.
No, but the crazy part was he was like, I haven't seen this movie since 1985. And it's true. And then all of a sudden, it's like 30 years later, he's watching it again. So, but yeah, thank you to those, everyone. That I want to thank Franco for allowing me to, you know, be here the afternoon to talk about crazy movies with Bong Demon and whatever else.
Bong Demon.
Yeah. Bong Demon. That's going to work somehow into a story. We're copywriting that. but again, if you liked any of those story ideas we pitched, okay. And
if you're a Hollywood executive.
Yes. Oh, yes. If you're somebody who actually has money, like, listen, Lloyd Kaufman, if you want to call us. We're local. We can get down to Jersey to meet you, okay? Mm-hmm. And Damien Leone, if you want to meet us too, we're 100% in. So, folks, again, thank you, Franco, for being on.
Thanks for having me on, yeah.
Look, this has been a blast, having a great time here. Folks, like we say here, keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality. We'll be right back.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots, Bugs, Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?